Okay, welcome back to the Afternoon Kollel. Thank you, Rabbi Shabtai, as always, for arranging this incredible learning opportunity. It's the Froelich Financial Group, and as was mentioned, if anybody would like to sponsor the four afternoons of this week, that option is still open and available, and we would more than welcome it. Our topic for today is the Minhag of Tashlich. The Minhag of Tashlich. By a show of hands, how many people perform, observe, do Tashlich? So almost every hand went up. I don't know how many do it on Rosh Hashanah itself. Some do it during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Some take all the way until Hoshana Rabbah. But there's some do till Zos Chanukah. Some wait till the whole next Elul. But the minhag is almost universal to do Tashlich. And you may be surprised to know, though, that though it is a borderline universal custom Tashlich, nevertheless, it does not appear anywhere. Not in the Gemara, not Tanayim, Amoraim, Medrash, Medrash Halacha, Medrash Agada, not in the Rishonim, not in the Torah Shulchan Aruch. So the question is, where did it come from? Why did we do it? How did it get such a popular following if it doesn't even appear in our mainstream normative development of Halacha, the system of Halacha? Where did Tashlich come from, and why do we observe it? What are some of the minhagim of it? What are the kavanos? What is some of the mindfulness that we should have in mind while we perform it? So I've shared my screen. I hope you see it online. Those who are listening to the recording afterwards, feel free to email me, and I'm happy to send you the source sheets. It goes back to the time of the Maharil. The Maharil lived 1355 to 1427, the Maharil, and he writes in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah the following: Amar Maharis Agam, Ashenogin Lelich Rosh Hashanah Achar Suda Eitzel Yamim Unaharos, Lahashlech B'mitzulos Yam Kol Chato Seinu. There is a custom, Mashenogin, that which we have a custom on Rosh Hashanah after the meal, to go to a river, to go to a sea, in order to throw away kol chatoseinu, all of our sins, all of our poor judgment, all of our indiscretions. Mishum de'isa b'medrash, what is the origin, what is the source? Because the Medrash records, Zecher la'akeda, Sha'avar Avram Avinu b'nahar ad savaro, v'amar hoshia Hashem ki bo mayim ad nafesh. Avram Avinu began to walk through the river, even though the water started to ascend. It went from his midsection, to his chest, to his shoulders. But he kept going, he persevered, he endured, he was resilient, and he came out on the other side. This is on his way to the Akedah. He refused to be blocked or prevented. He overcame the obstacle, namely in the form of river, even though kibo mayim ad nafesh. V'hu ha-satan shenasa kemunahar la'akev oso min ha-akedah. So the satan took the form of water, trying to block or prevent him from this mitzvah of the Akedah, but he overcame, he persevered. When you go on Yontif, do not take any food to throw to the fish. I hate to be the Grinch who stole the joy and the fun out of Tashlich. But the one thing about Tashlich we know you shouldn't do on Yontif is feed the fish. Why? There's a violation of Yontif. Why is there a violation of Yontif? Because those fish don't belong to you. They don't rely on you. You're only allowed to feed pets that are domesticated, that are your pets that rely on you. To do so otherwise could be a violation of carrying. If Yontif falls on Shabbos, we'll see. But also could be a violation of Chilul Yontif, of feeding animals that don't depend or rely on you. Muktzamim liyisrael muchusarim tzeda, ein machlim Yontif el davar haraui lo. So this all comes from the Sefer Maharil. The Maharil is the earliest source that we have, going back to the 14th, early 15th century, the earliest source that we have for the minhag of Tashlich. And the Maharil, who introduces us to the minhag, associates it with the story of Avram, that Avram was walking to the Akedah and somehow he encountered a river. Let's unpack that story a little bit further before we go on to continue to trace the origin of the minhag of Tashlich. The Medrash, the Torah tells us, Vayashkim Avram Baboker. And why are we reading the Akedah, by the way, on Rosh Hashanah? The Zohar tells us that when did the Akedah take place? On Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the Akedah, of Avram taking Yitzchak to fulfill God's tremendous test to bind his son. It happened on Rosh Hashanah. We read the story on Rosh Hashanah. And in that reading and in that story, the Torah tells us, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, he woke up early in the morning, he took his donkey and his two young men and the wood, and he went to the place Hashem had told him. Hashem had commanded Avram to offer his son, his progeny, the symbol of his future. And yet we have no idea Avram's state of mind. If you look at the Torah, Avram seems almost robotic. He's obedient. Hashem tells him, jump. He says, how high? He takes it all. He starts to walk. And without telling us anything about Avram's mindset, We know he didn't have a conversation with Sarah because she was shocked to hear later about the Akedah. What was Avram who went through this by himself? He kept it to himself. He didn't tell Yitzchak. He didn't tell Sarah. He was going through the ultimate or one of the ultimate tests to sacrifice one's own child by himself. What was his mindset? What was he thinking? What was he feeling? We don't know. All we know is the Torah tells us that Vayibayam HaShlishi, it was on the third day, and he came to the place. But we don't know what was going through his mind. So the Medrash fills in what the Torah itself had left out. And the Medrash Tanchuma remarkably describes Vayakam Vayelech. Avram got up and he went. And the Medrash tells us, I'll read it to you in the English. It's not in the source sheets. The Medrash says that the Satan accosted him and appeared before him in the guise of an old man. And the Medrash said, where are you going? So Avram said, where am I going? I'm going to pray. I'm going to daven. He wasn't going to disclose where he was going to the Satan. Satan was not there to encourage him or urge him on. So the Satan said, if you're going to daven, well, what do you need fire? What do you need wood? What do you need a knife? So Avram said, maybe on the way to daven, I'm going to be delayed. And if you're delayed, I need a fire to keep me warm. I'm going to need to make a barbecue. I need some dinner. I need a shecht. I need my knife. So the Satan said, old man, do you think I wasn't there when Hashem told you, take your son, your only son, the son you love, Yitzchak. You're going to kill your son. The son you had and that you waited for until you were 100 years old. And answered Avram, you're right, that is where I'm going. But you know what? You can't stop me. I'm going nonetheless. And the Satan said, don't do it, because tomorrow Hashem's going to accuse you of being a murderer. And again, Avram said, no, I'm going. Nothing can stop me. So the Medrash continues with truly a remarkable imagery. And the Medrash describes that as soon as the Satan saw that Avram was not moved, he went and assumed the form of a large river. And that's what the Maharil, associating with Tashlich, is talking about. Avram plunged into the waters, which reached as far as his knees, and he said to the young man, to Yitzchak, follow me. And he went in after him, and as soon as they reached midway, the waters came up to his neck. And Avram looked at the sky, and he said, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, didn't you choose me? And didn't you reveal yourself to me? And didn't you tell me to take my son Yitzchak and to do this? I didn't hold back, and now the waters are blocking me. If Yitzchak and I drown, who will fulfill your word? Who will be your spokesperson? Who will proclaim the unity of your name? And Hashem said, Avram. Hashem answered him. And he rebuked the spring and the river dried up and he was able to keep going and he found himself on dry ground. Azoy, that is the Medrash. That's the Medrash. What does that Medrash really mean? The Satan. Satan first had this whole conversation, and when the Satan didn't persuade Avram, didn't convince him, then the Satan takes the form of the river. What's going on over here? Nachama Leibovitz, Aleha Shalom, Zichrono Levracha, explains this Medrash very, very beautifully in her commentary on Chumash. She writes that this dialogue constitutes a symbolic representation not between Avram and some external Satan. She says perhaps we can interpret the Medrash to mean that Avram was talking to his alter ego. He was talking to himself. There was a voice within himself that said, you're unworthy, you're incapable, you're unable, you can't make it happen. The Medrash telling us the Satan took the guise of an old man. The old man was he himself, was Avram. And one by one, these doubts, they begin to assail him. They challenge him. Avram is resisting. He's hesitating. Avram is not so confident as he goes to the Akedah, maybe as much as we were led to believe by the text itself. First, what happens is his paternal instinct challenges him and says, can you really kill the son you had at 100 years old? You waited so long, right? That was the Sultan's first argument. The Sultan's first argument is Avram's own internal first argument. Waited 100 years to be a father? That voice of his, the paternal voice. Then the voice of his conscience calls out and says, tomorrow Hashem's going to accuse you of being a murderer. How could you violate your own moral principles? How could you go against what you yourself believe? And he overcomes that. And finally, Avram's doubts and uncertainties take the form of this river. What does it signify? It signifies the things that block our paths. There are things that stand in our way. We want to be a better husband. We want to be a better father. We want to be a better Eved Hashem. We want to be a better learner. And these things block us in our way like the river blocked Avram. So much so that it tried to convince Avram, and Avram was almost convinced. He almost gave up. But then he persevered. He broke through. He came out on the other side. He came out on the other side. So suggest Nachama Leibovitz, maybe that Medrash Tanchuma, maybe the Medrash Tanchuma is not talking about some external Satan, but maybe the lesson for all of us is, unlike the image we've had in the past, that Akedah Yitzchak Avram is the quintessential Ish Emuna, that he doesn't hesitate and there's no reluctance and he just goes and does what he's supposed to. No, maybe it took 3 days because Avram would take a step forward and 2 steps back, a step forward and 2 steps back. Maybe Avram had to overcome his own conversation, his own doubt, his own uncertainty, his own struggle in order to be able to emerge out on the other side, in order to be able to come through and fulfill the word of Hashem. Anyway, so the Ma'aril says that the origin of Tashlich is we actually relive to a certain degree. It's a dramatic re-representation of this story of the Akedah. Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the Akedah. So the dramatic representation of the Akedah is that we go to a body of water. And just like the body of water tried to block Avraham, Moshiach Hashem kibo mayim ad nafesh, and he calls out, Ribono shel Olam, save me, the water has come, it's trying to drown me. So too, we go to the body of water in order to throw our sins. What sin are we throwing away? The sin of allowing things to block our path. Avram did not allow the Satan in the form of the river or the old man or his conscience or his paternal instinct. Avram did not allow it to block his path. We go to the water to recite Tashlich, and the Chatasenu that we're throwing away is to not allow excuses, justifications, rationalizations, to not allow them to block our path and to hold us back. Okay, that is the Maharil. The Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserlis, who was the halachic authority for Ashkenazi Jewry, 16th century Krakow, Poland. The Ramah, first in his Darkei Moshe, source number two. Darkei Moshe is the Ramah's commentary on the Torah. And then in his Ramah, his gloss on the Shulchan Aruch, source number three. In both places, the Ramah quotes this custom. He adds additional reasons, which we'll see further. In source number two, he writes in Beis, Kasav Maharil, he quotes the Maharil that we just read, Zecher la'akeda, and then in the left-hand column, V'cheinu b'minhagim, Shehosev sheroa dagim chayim, V'efshe shu l'simen shel tishlet banu ayin hara, V'nifra v'nir b'kidagim. So maybe the reason that we go to the river, the Ramah adds to the reason of the Maharil, is not just to invoke the story of the Akedah, like the water tried to block Avram, but a second reason, says the Ramah, invoking the Sefer Minhagim, is because in that water there are fish, and the fish are not subject to Ayin Hara, and therefore we are davening that we too not be in danger or vulnerable to Ayin Hara, and the Nifra Venir Bekidagim, Dagim, multiply, proliferate, and we hope and pray that we too will have Einik Lach and Ur Einik Lach, that we'll have children and continuity and progeny, that we ourselves will be Zocha to have a sense of continuity. So the Ramah, both in Darchei Moshe, and then source number three, the Ramah in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Gimel, in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, the Ramah writes the following, Ochlan Rosh Keves Lomar Nielu Rosh Velo Lezanav. We spoke about the Simanim. Was that last week we did that? We went through the Simanim, the custom of eating the different symbols and signs on Rosh Hashanah. Shulchan Aruch says, the head of a sheep. To remember, we want to be the head, not the tail. And also invoking Le'elo Shel Yitzchak, the eye of the ram of Yitzchak, of the Akedah. Again, the Akedah keeps coming back and back and back again on Rosh Hashanah. Says the Ramah, V'yesh medatikim shalolach olagozim she'egoz b'gematria chet. We're careful not to eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah, because nuts are the same gematria, egos and chet are the same gematria. So it would be bad to have chet, to have sin represented at the table. We don't eat nuts. I told you last week, the Kotzker Rebbe, the great Sharf, Kotzker Rebbe, he said, you know what else is gematria chet? Chet. So just like you don't have egos at the table, don't have chet at the table. Don't tell Lashon Hara, don't gossip, don't do the wrong thing, have kavanah when you bench. Just like egos is gematria chet, and you should see the shilas I get about nuts in the recipes, chet is also gematria chet. Vochei mar b'kicha v'nei mevata natfila, and eggs cause phlegm, which will make it hard to daven. Imagine with a mask. V'hochen el anar lomar pasek v'tashel mitzuz yam kol chat oseinu. And then the Ramah quotes here from the Minhagim, as he did in the Darchei Moshe, the minhag is to say tashlich. We go to a river in order to recite tashlich, and we say this pasuk, the tashlich b'mitzulos yam kol chat oseinu, v'gam no'agin shel olishon b'yom Rosh Hashanah u'minag nachon hu. We also have a custom from the Yerushalmi, not tashluf, don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah. Why don't we sleep on Rosh Hashanah? So we all heard from our bubbies, maybe a baba maisa, that if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah, you'll have a sleepy year. Now some of you who don't sleep so well at night probably wouldn't mind a sleepy year. Some insomniacs here, some people who wake up every 15 minutes in the night, they wouldn't mind a sleepy year. So why don't we sleep on Rosh Hashanah? It's the Ramah. These are not baba maisas. These are not frivolous traditions. These traditions have a makor, have a source in the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Why don't we sleep on Rosh Hashanah? If the reason is not because we don't want to sleep a year, why don't we sleep? So yesterday I spoke for the OU. They had a beautiful program yesterday afternoon, and I mentioned there an insight of the Rav. The Rav in a Yerzai Drasha in the 70s, I believe, the Rav said the following, just like you have brisker lumdus that you can analyze, Reb Chaim says, is it a din in a chefsa, a din in a gavra? Is it a din in the object, or is it a din in the person? The mitzvah of tzitzis. Is it din in the chefetz of tzitzis, or the gavra who wears the tzitzis? So he said, just like that's true in halacha, it's also true in hashkafa. A person can make themselves either a chefetz or a gavra. You can be an object that's acted upon, a chefetz, or you could be a gavra. You could choose to be a person who acts. That choice is us. Are you a chefetz or are you a gavra? And the Rav points out, it's not a coincidence. When the Torah describes some of the horrific crises of history, where we made terrible mistakes as a nation, it uses the term yerida, to fall, we fell. Why is making a mistake described as falling? Because the moment you make a mistake and you allow yourself to be a chefetz, an object, you're subject to gravity. Gravity brings you down, you fall. We are mandated not to be an object, a chefetz, we're told to be a gavra. Be a gavra, be a subject. Make choices, be a gavra. When you're a gavra, you ascend. When you do tshuva, you ascend. When you're a chefetz, then you are fall from gravity. So the Rav said you could either be a chefetz or a gavra. And he pointed out that when you're asleep, you're a chefetz. A person is asleep is a chefetz. When you're fast asleep, you're unconscious. You're acted upon. You're a chefetz. You're an object. You're an object. So there are people who are a chefetz even while they're a gavra. There are people who are sleeping even while they're awake. And that's maybe, I wanted to suggest, as an extension of that insight of the Rav, that Mashanoa Gin Shlalisha B'yom Rosh Hashanah, why don't we sleep on Rosh Hashanah? Because Rosh Hashanah is not the day to be a chefza. It's not the day to be an object, to be acted upon. It's a day to be a gavra. Go learn, go daven, go do chesed, go talk to others. Be awake, be alive, be a gavra, be a person. Don't be a chefza. In any case, you see the Ramah here. The Ramah here, Tavkof Pei Gimel, Halacha Dalad. This is halacha beis rather. The Ramah here says that the minhag is to go to a nahar, to go to a river, and to recite tashlich. We also see this quoted in the Shla. The Shla says, "Hu minhag vasikin." This is an early custom to go to the river in order to say this pasuk, tashlich b'mitzvos yam kochatoseinu. The custom of going to the river and somehow invoking the imagery of unburdening ourselves of our mistakes, of our indiscretions, of our poor judgment. It's a minhag vasikin. It's a custom that goes far back. The earliest we found it is the Maharil in the 14th, early 15th century, but the Shla HaKadosh Neluchos Abris considers it a minhag vasikin. What's interesting is the minhag began among Ashkenazim. During the time of the Ramah, during the time of the Moshe Islas in Poland, the minhag of Tashlich was really exclusively an Ashkenazi minhag. The Svardim had not adopted it. But Rav Chaim Vital in Ashar HaKavanos here quotes that the Arizal adopted the minhag of Tashlich. It says the following: Drusha Rosh Hashanah Akdam Inyan Aminik Shenago Ashkenazim Lelech Biyom Rishon Rosh Hashanah Achritvil Asa Minchah Ma'at Ma'at Kodem Shkiyas Achama Itzal Hayam Agadol Itzal Ma'ayan Ube'er Ma'im Chaim V'korno So Tashlich Hinehu Minag Yofa V'yoser Tovu V'miyachutz L'ir V'yamar Asvas Hayam Asvas Aver Ma'ayan V'yikra Shem Gimel Pa'amim V'yak Kamocha Titanam Ziyankef and so on. The end of the psukim of Micha. So the Rav Chaim Vital quotes his great Rebbe, the Arizal, that until his time it was exclusively an Ashkenazi minhag, but when the Arizal adopted the minhag of Tashlich, and when the Arizal described it as a beautiful minhag, a minhag tov, then Sfardim adopted it as well. Sfardim often follow the Ari, and they too adopted it. The one who did not adopt it is the Gra, the Vilna Gaon. Source number 6 in Maaseh Rav, the Gra says, Lohaya, not the Gra, the Zeres Talmidim, who record the practices, Rechaim Veloshim, the practices of the Gra, and it records about the Gra that Lohaya holech lenahar ulebe'er lomar tashlich. He wouldn't go to the river, he didn't go to a body of water, he didn't go to the well, he didn't go to a lake. The Gra did not believe in, did not recite, the Gra did not observe tashlich. So we see it originates with the Maharil, it's quoted and referenced by the Ramah, by the Shlach HaKadosh, calls it a minhag vasikin. And though at the time of the Ramah only Ashkenazim did it, later the Svaradim adopted it as well. That is the source of the custom of Tashlich. But the question is why? Why? One reason we already saw in the Maharil, namely the connection to Akedas Yitzchak. That just like the river couldn't stop Avram, we too unburden the mistakes we've made. We go to seek forgiveness and atonement for having allowed or enabled anything to stand in our way. Like Avram, we should have been resilient. We should have persevered. We should have been tenacious. We should have overcome. We should have fought through. We should have silenced the alter ego, that voice within ourselves of doubt that was trying to block us. That was one reason. The Ramah quoted from the Minhagim two more reasons. Either because a fish are not subject to Ayin Hara, or that fish promulgate and multiply, and we too hope that for ourselves. But I want to share with you a few other reasons that Tashlich is recited that are offered. One traces to the Rashi, Rashi Shabbos Pei Aleph. And Rashi here references a custom which seems to be some sort of a combination between Tashlich and Kaparos. We do it as two separate things, those who have those Minhagim. But Rashi here seems to combine the two when he writes that Tesvav Yom Lefnei Rosh Hashanah Usim Kol Echav Echav Leshav Kol Kot Nektanash Bayis V'zor L'Sochem Pula Mitzri O Kitnis V'Koron Lo Pepisa V'Tzomeach U'Ve'erev Rosh Hashanah. So a couple weeks before Rosh Hashanah, you take some legumes in the house and it has a certain name and it sprouts. And then on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Nota Kol Echad Shelo Machziru Svivos Rosho, you take the sprouting legume and you put it over your head seven times, and you say, Zetacha Zev Vezecha Alifasi, this is instead of me, Vezet Murasi, Umashlich Alanahar, and then you throw it in the river. So Rashi quotes a custom in his time, which, as I said, sounds like a combination. To us, it's a combination. Familiar to us as a combination of Kaparos and Tashlich, but this is another, perhaps, a reference to an early existence of a custom of something that seems to be like Tashlich. The Balatanya in the Siddur also embraces this custom. And the Siddur of the Balatanya says the following. Another reason. Mitzad ha'yichud shalcha yavshar sholi v'chein wo'os ha'chesed ha'makov wo'os ha'chesed la'ofen zatikin la'avam, and so on. Mitzad shalo sitra achra nesher shkua tomer rabbein yachol ludav achra kedusha l'chsiv ha'shil ha'shem ki go'ga'ah, that we are protected near water, you're protected from the negative energy, the negative influence, the sitra achra, the other side. And so on and so forth. And he says, oh, this is true. The mayim is morim al chasadim. Water represents chesed. So if not being near water is din, water is chesed. So the Siddur Balatanya associates going to water with your invoking the image of the chesed of water, and that's why we go to a body of water. The Elif Lamagin gives a different reason. Source number 9. He says, Remesh Yizko on a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Chus HaKedah, that we saw from the Medrash. The Satan took the form of the river, La'akva, in order to block him, and Avram persevered. Hoshieni Lakim Kibo Mayim Ad Nafesh. Ve'od Yesh Bezetam, halfway through. And there's another reason. Shanu Mamlichim Es HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleinu, Ba'der Chai Limshoch Es HaMalachim Eitzel HaNahar, L'Rames Shetimshoch Mamlachto. What is the theme of Rosh Hashanah? The whole essence, the whole theme of Rosh Hashanah, the avoda of Rosh Hashanah, is to be mamlech Hashem. We're coronating God as the king over us. We appoint him, we coronate him, we inaugurate him. In fact, go back to Maisarav, the Gra, and the Gra writes in Maisarav, we have this image, particularly among Hasidim, of invoking all kinds of kavanas with the shofar, crying, tears, drama. The Maisarav quotes the Gra, who said one should not cry a tear, not a single tear when you blow the shofar. Shofar is not sadness. The shofar is not a call to accountability. Said the Vilna Gaon, you know what the shofar is? It's the inaugural trumpet. On the night of election, if an election gets decided by the night of the election, and there's an inaugural ball, so the inaugural ball, there's a band, and there's trumpets, and there's music. The shofar represents the trumpets. We're inaugurating Hashem. Every part of Rosh Hashanah is Imru Lefanei Malchus Kadesh Tam Lichuni Aleichem. We're reciting Malchus. We're being Mamlech Hashem. We are coronating God. Ein Melech Below Am. There is no king without a people. So we are declaring, we are appointing, we are accepting Hashem as our king. Where did a king receive that inauguration, that coronation? So in antiquity, the custom was the king was coronated at a river. Why? Just like the river flowed, so too it represented the hope, the prayer that the monarchy would flow, that it would continue, that it would go uninterrupted. And so the custom in antiquity was that a king was coronated, or the inauguration of the king took place next to a body of water. And that's why, quotes the Elif HaMagen, the minhag is tashlich at a body of water, because we're coronating Hashem. So it has nothing to do with our sins. There's nothing negative. There's no sitra achra. There's no Akedas Yitzchak, there's no fish in Ayin Hara, none of the negativity. Says the Elif HaMagen, there's pure positivity. This is part of the, we're being Mamlech Hashem. We're coronating God, we're celebrating His inauguration. Where do you do it? You do it at a river, because that's where an inauguration takes place. Source number 10, Yabi Omer, Rav Avadya. Rav Avadya brings another reason. And Rav Avadya writes, he quotes from the Bir HaGra, let's see, Tamachal Mashahochan al Nar Brash Hashanah, Adav Pasuk, Vayishav Mayim Shbukhuf Ne Hashem, Mutagim Yonasan Vishafil, Levahom Bitsiyuv, to Bemaya Kodam Hashem, Perish Rashi, Lesimen Hachnaa, Hari An Lefanecha, Kemayim Halalu Hanishbachim. Water flows to the lowest point. Just like water, gravity impacts, and water naturally flows to the lowest point. Water represents humility. Water represents being humble and modest. So too, we go to the water in order to express our humility, our modesty, our sense of lowliness. And we go to the water in order to express that, in order to demonstrate that, which works for the Maharil, Lahashlach B'mtsulas Yam, Kol Chatasam. V'amir is Pasuk Zayidei Anar, Shu Inyan Tshuva, and Kain, Gam Rosh Hashanah Shechah B'Shabbos Yom Tshuva V'tchina, like Meiri writes in Magen Avos. So there's a big machlokas we're not going to get into when, as it does this year, Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbos. Do you recite Tashlich on the first day when Rosh Hashanah falls on Tashlich, when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, or do you move it to the second day? What's the argument? So first of all, maybe you need to carry your machzor and you're going to come to carry on Shabbos. So if it's a place that is an Eruv, there's no problem. But if you don't hold of the Eruv or a place with no Eruv, you might come to carry the machzor, then you can have a problem of carrying. You might come to carry the bread that you're not supposed to have because you're not supposed to really throw it in the river. That would be a problem of carrying. So some say you move it. What about if you're in a place that has an Eruv? So there's no problem. Still, some say it's inappropriate, the imagery. Here, Rav Avadya seems to say that Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. It's still a day of tshuva and tchina. So if the reason for tashlich is to express and demonstrate humility and modesty like water that flows to the lowest point, then there would be nothing wrong with saying it on a Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos. And then he quotes from the Ein Eliezer, Samach leminag tashlich, smach leminag tashlich, me'akasav ben Nechemya. There's a pasuk in Nechemya Perches that says, "Vayasvu kol ha'am ha'rechov asher lefnei shar ha'mayim b'yamarishon lechodesh ha'shvi'i." It talks about the people having congregated near the water, and the Gra, Aminag Amariel Mimo b'sifra told us Hagra hevi mekor zeh b'shem Hagra. So maybe just like in the time of Nechemya, they went to the water. We too, we relive that story, and we go to the water. However, Rav Avadya quotes the Gra, Lo yanag lomar tashlich Rosh Hashanah. The Gra himself did not believe in tashlich and did not say tashlich on Rosh Hashanah. So that is an additional reason that is offered by the Rav Avadya. Another reason, source 11. The Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, the beginning of Avodah Zarah, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mai dechsev atasa adam kitgei hayam keremes lomo shel bo. You've made man like a fish, like the creepy things without a ruler. Lama nimshel b'nei adam kitgei hayam. Why is man likened to a fish? Lomar Lacha teaches us, Ma dogim shebayam kevin she'olon liyabashim yad mesim. Just like the fish, if they leave the water, their natural habitat, and they come onto the dry land, they'll die. Af b'nei adam kevin she'porsh midivrei Torah min ha'mitzvos miyad mesim. We know that mayim zu Torah, water is like Torah, and just like a fish has to live immersed in water, and if the fish were to come on the dry land, it could never survive, it would die, so too we have to remain immersed in water, kim chayinu baruch yameinu, and if we would be extracted from the water, we know this was the mashal given why Rabbi Kiva continued to teach under the Romans, even though it risked his life. Just like a fish can't live on dry land, we too can't live without Torah. So therefore, perhaps one of the reasons suggested, we're going to a body of water on Rosh Hashanah to remember that just like the fish can't live out of water, so too we cannot live outside of Torah. Torah is our life. We have to be immersed entirely in Torah. That has to be our life. Okay, so these are all different reasons. This second set of reasons all describe having to do with fish. The first set of reasons didn't have to do with fish. Had to do with the Akedah, had to do with Rashi, somehow Tashlich and Kaparos, had to do with water is Chesed, had to do with reliving the Pasuk in Nechemya, had to do with coronating, the inauguration happened at water. That was a whole set of reasons that had nothing to do with the fish. So even if you were at a body of water that had no fish, you could fulfill Tashlich. But then there's a whole set of reasons which are offered that are reasons that correlate with fish, not just the body of water. It's not enough to find a body of water to say Tashlich. You have to find a body of water that also has living fish in it. And what were those reasons? The Ramah himself said, to avoid Ayin Hara, just like fish are not subject to Ayin Hara, so too we shouldn't be. Number two, Nifra v'nibra kedagim, just like fish have explosive population growth, so too we hope that for ourselves. And other reasons which are also offered. The Levush gives another reason. The Levush, it's not here in the source sheets. The Levush says, fish are caught in a net. Ne'achazim b'mitzuda. So we should realize, too, accountability, responsibility. and to grow from it, and to grow from it. The Shlah has another reason. The Shlah says there's a fascinating feature about a fish. Do you know that a fish is, why not, right? The possessive fish is the fishes. Fish apostrophe S, is that correct grammar? A fish never closes its eyes. Fish don't close their eyes. Did you know that? I guess if you're a scuba diver in the middle of the night, you'd notice that the fish are sleeping with their eyes open. Fish don't close their eyes. Kodesh Baruch Hu never stops looking at us. His eyes are on us all the time. We need to know that. We need to realize that. We need to accept that. We need to be accountable to that. We need to be careful with that. And that is one of the rules of fish. The Magen Avraham here writes, Hanahar, right? The Ramah had quoted the minhag is to go to a river to say Tashlich. The Magen Avraham, elucidating the Ramah, writes, don't just go to Stam, a river. It's not enough to go to a body of water. You have to go to a river, Shiesh Bo Dagem Chaim. You have to go to a body of water that has live fish. Preferably, it should be a river or a body of water outside the city. The correct time for Tashlich is after you've davened Mincha. Kodem Shkia Sachama. Don't go during twilight. Go before Shkia. And you say, Pasuk Mikel Kamocha, Psukim from Micha, that appear in the Machzor. So we see the notion, this was also quoted by Reb Chaim Vital about the Arizal. The Ramah just said, go to a body of water. But here they add, it should be outside the city, and you go on the first day, and you go after Mincha, but before Shkia, and you go where there are live fish in order to incorporate all of the different minhagim. What about bread? Can you throw bread in the river? Is that appropriate thing to do on Yontif? So we already referenced it. The Ma'aril already said not to do it, because the Ma'aril said that these are mechusrim tzeda. The fish are not caught. They're not domesticated. They don't belong to you. They don't rely on you. You're not allowed to feed them. So this chilo Yontif. And the Minchas Elozer, the moon catcher, the Heliga moon catcher, elaborates that here in Chelek Hay, Simen Chav Zayin. He says, Tashal Rashana hine tama minig of Zanak Doshim, Schusim Yagan Aleinu, and Hagenu Achareim, Uborer Kipshuto, Kimchi Efshim Neshamarich Mitfila at Karv Laila, Vuhu Arov, Achashke Sachama, Bigmar Tfila Mincha Yachad, Vizman Allah Zatisakam, Nakachim Tom Imaat. He says, we don't really have time on Rosh Hashanah to say Tashlich. Why? Because our davening goes from morning until night. There's no break. So you go home and you eat a shtickle, you eat a little bit. Veitzel Ziknei, They would say it on Yom Yud Gimel Midos, not on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which is the origin. So the Minchas Elozer quotes that when you have time, when you have a big enough break, when davening is short enough to say Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah afternoon, you can do it then. But if it's not, and you run out of time because davening takes the entire day, you have until Hoshana Rabbah to do it. He says, Omnam kimid mimani, sheish gan osan shalo richab Rosh Hashanah v'tfilo rak ad gimel shas achar tzarayim. Some have a very short davening, and they only go until when? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They only go until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, there's a famous tshuva, famous this year because it was made famous thanks to Corona. Rabbi Kiva Eger wrote a tshuva once when there was a plague, a pandemic that they were living through, the cholera outbreak, and he wrote a guide, a formula for how to shorten davening. It's really worth looking at Rabbi Kiva Eger's tshuva here. He writes a whole formula for how to shorten davening, and in that formula he says that one should, first of all, he says you divide davening in two, an early shift and a late shift, and you do a lottery for where people will go. He writes everything. They position guards outside to make sure people are compliant with the rules. And he said, because this Rosh Hashanah, they're living through a pandemic and they had to abbreviate it, Nebuch, we can only say a 5-hour davening. Their abbreviated davening was 5 hour. We're working in a 1 hour, a 2 hour, 3 hour, 3.5 hour maximum davening. Their abbreviated davening was the 5 hour davening. Anyway, so he says, there are people who Nebuch, they only finish Rosh Hashanah 3 in the afternoon. And he says, the reason, even though they had plenty of time to say it on Rosh Hashanah itself, they wait for the reason that's offered by all of these Gedol Yisrael. And then he gets into the other issue in the next paragraph. About throwing the things in. and talks about it being a problem. Okay, you'll take my word for it. The Mat Ephraim also weighs in, source 14. The Mat Ephraim, an early halachic authority, writes, Nogin lelech achar amincha lenahar obe'er v'korn halichas tashlach Hashem shom Hashem ha'kosev v'tash mitzos yam. This minhag, the whole practice, by the way, is called tashlach. Why is it called tashlach? Not because we're throwing bread, but rather, v'tashlach b'mitzos yam kol chatosenu. Because what we're throwing is our chatayim, the pasuk from Micha. We're going to a body of water outside the city that has live fish. And if there is no place outside the city, you go stam to a place with water or a well. Better for it to be outside the city. Should say mincha first. And there you say these pesukim. And we shake off our clothing there. Shake off the clothing. So we don't actually find in halachic sources this minhag of throwing bread. What we do find is a minhag to shake out our clothing, as if in our pockets. In our pockets, or our clothing is soiled, is blemished, is contaminated with the mistakes that we made, and therefore we are cleansing. We're, so to say, cleaning our clothing, we're unburdening ourselves of our chatayim. So in this minhag of tashlich that gets its name from that pasuk, it's incorrect and appropriate to actually throw food, but rather what is more appropriate, where we do find the minhag, is menarim sham shulei abegadim, we shake out our clothing as a remez, as a hint or an allusion, as a demonstration that we're shaking out the mistakes. These mistakes have piled up, they're in our pockets, we're carrying them with us. So we are looking to set them down, we're looking to unload them, we're looking to get rid of them. Even if first day of Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, the Mat Ephraim says, you still say Tashlich on the first day. However, you have to be careful if Shabbos is, if Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, that you're not carrying on Shabbos without an Erev. A person would have to be careful about that. Kitzah Shulchan Aruch also codifies this Lahalacha. The Kitzah Shulchan Aruch says, La'achar tefilas ha-mincha, you should say tashlich after mincha. By the way, that's why we have an early mincha and a late mincha. If you're not saying tashlich, you could daven in whatever mincha you want. You could say tashlich. If you're not saying tashlich like the gra, then you're not saying tashlich at all. If you're going to say tashlich later, maybe during aseres yimei tshuva, and then you can throw bread if you want during a week, during a weekday, so then there's no reason to daven mincha early. But if you're saying tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, then the appropriate thing is to go to the early mincha, because all the halachic authorities reference saying tashlich dafka after mincha. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, La'achat filas ha-mincha holach al-anar, you go to the river, v'toshia michutz la'ir, yesh bodagim, should be outside the city, should have fish, and im ein sham nar, sheyesh bodagim, holach al-anar achar le-be'er, omrim ha-psukim, menarim shulei begodim, we shake out our clothing, it's a remez that we're shaking out, and that we want to cleanse our clothing, nikiyim mikol chet, they should be clean and cleansed from any chet. So Kitzur Shulchan Aruch also quotes this custom, this early custom of shaking out our clothing. The Aruch HaShulchan Rav Yechiel Mechel Epstein, when he quotes this practice, he says that we have to be careful of something. Yishnogen Shalolisham Yom Rosh Hashanah, he quotes the custom we saw from the Yushami, that the Ramah said not to sleep, be a gavra, be a subject, don't be a sleepwalking object, don't take a shluf, don't take a sleep, stay awake. Vizaru The Yerach HaShulchan Rav Yechiel Mechel Epstein cautions us when it comes to Tashlich. Tashlich, when I was growing up, Tashlich is the world's biggest social scene. So what happens? It's Rosh Hashanah. It's a day that's supposed to be holy, sacred, sanctified, a day we're supposed to be on our best behavior, and people come together, they socialize, maybe, God forbid, they gossip, maybe they have inappropriate flirtatious conversation. Now, if shiduchim come out of it, Baruch Hashem, what a great activity for Rosh Hashanah, to make more shiduchim. But the Aruch HaShulchan cautions us from, when I was a kid, the motivation was not getting rid of your sins. For some, the motivation was accumulating more sins. It was going to Tashlich because it was the world's greatest social scene. Who knew who you're going to see and who you get to talk to and what date you could set up? So the Aruch HaShulchan cautions us, be careful to keep Tashlich the way it was meant to be. Keep Tashlich a holy event, and avoid it turning into a social scene which would in fact profane it. Lastly, we'll go through the Sefer Minhag Yisrael Torah. And the Sefer Minhag Yisrael Torah quotes further customs relating to Tashlich. And it says the following. Minhag ha-amonim, kishochon tashlich, shemashlichen pach lechon denar al-dagim, We said that there's a custom that people have. They throw bread to the fish. Because of the minagaruhu, the amariel, who himself is the origin of the custom of tashlich, in that original source already rejects this notion of throwing bread to the fish. Of throwing bread. Don't bring bread in order to throw. You only feed the domesticated animals that rely and depend on you. And it also appears in the Yoraba, Mach the Shekel, Mat Ephraim. Vihine me amaril nira da amonish also can loyalam shum tam. Vihisod rak laharos lahem lismoch behem. In kin afil bimokum shaleke iser ein tam lenogain. The Sefer Minhag Yisrael Torah deduces that since when we reject this custom of throwing the bread, we don't just say the problem is chil yantif, but we also say laharos lahemlismoch behem. It's just to make it fun, to make it an exciting activity. It means that even if you're saying tashlich during the week, you still shouldn't throw bread. Throwing bread is a baseless custom. It's not really part of the minhag itself. However, you quote Sefer Yad Yosef and the Ktzeh Mata, the Yashid Minhag Amona Pi Mashikos B'Tosel Shabbos. There are those who defend and who justify the Miyashid the minhag of using bread at least during a weekday to throw. The Kaima Minhag Masha Mashlichim B'Shabbos Shira Chitim Lefnei Ofos, based on the custom of throwing. We know some people put out challah and Shabbos Shira, Parshas B'Shalach, in order to reward the birds with the whole story with the birds taking away the man. So we reward the birds on Shabbos Shira by putting out challah. Aye, how are you allowed to do that? The Magen Avraham writes there, it's wrong. The birds are not your domesticated animal. They're not your pet. You're not responsible to feed them. It's Chilo Shabbos. How are you allowed to do that? So the Sefer Yad Yosef defends the custom and says that you're not feeding the birds to feed them. You would not be entitled to do that on Shabbos because they're not your birds. You're feeding them as a mitzvah to reward them for having sung Shira. So it's kamo kein benidon didon, mashenogim b'tashlach uzrug muzlim lefnei adagim ein lahak b'bekach. So whatever justification, whatever rationale is offered to defend the practice of throwing challah in front of the birds in Shabbos Shira, you can use a similar defense to justify and defend the practice of throwing the bread into the river during tashlach. U'divrei mitzrichim biur d'lahashlach Shabbos Shira chitim, matzina sheyesh b'zeh inyan, ki the cost of tosus Shabbos, v'chein neviyu b'svarim ha-kadoshim, kam atam l'minag zeh. It's a very difficult defense, he points out, because the Maharil, who's the earliest source, the very Maharil who taught us this custom, is also the same Maharil who rejects throwing anything in the river. So therefore, even though you could offer that defense, it's not a very compelling defense. And you should not stand by that defense. And really, the proper thing is not to throw bread in the fish. Really, the minhag is to shake out your clothing, to recite the psukim, and to be mindful. All the reasons that we saw, and we saw many, many reasons, to be mindful that a person is trying to achieve kapara tshuva by coming to the water. We can get caught in a net. We're caught in a pandemic. You know, it caught my attention. Listen carefully. Everyone's already anticipating Unisana Tokef. And we're going to say, Mi Yechia Mi Yamus, Mi Ba Mayim, Mi Ba Esh, Mi Ba Magefa. And this year, those words take on a whole new level. Mi Ba Magefa, who by plague? This year, 2020, Tavshin Pei Aleph, it takes on a whole new level. But you know, you don't have to wait for Rosh Hashanah. Do you know, I realized today in davening, two places in the davening. I grab a sitter. Where do I have a sitter? Two places I noticed today in davening. One is in the long tachanun. Anyone else notice this? Maybe you all noticed it 6 months ago and I'm late to the party. But I only noticed it today. We say in the long tachanun, we say that our soul is exhausted. Kinafshenu kitzara mecherv mishvi umidever umimageifa. Kinafshenu kitzara. What does that mean? Kinafshenu kitzara. We're exhausted. We have fatigue. Our soul is so tired. Mimageifa. From the Magefa. We then say it after we lane on Monday, Thursday, the Yehi Ratzons. You ever pay attention to the first Yehi Ratzon? I don't know how 6 months into this I first noticed it. What's the first Yehi Ratzon? Sorry, not the first one, the second one. Yihiratzim b'fnei avinu shebashamayim, l'rachim alinu ve'aplit aseinu, v'limnoa mashchis u magefa me'aleinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, spare us from the pandemic. Spare us from this magefa, this plague. Spare us from this virus that's spreading. So you're going through life coasting. You think all's well and good, and you find yourself like a fish all of a sudden caught in a trap. In a trap, in this case, called Corona, COVID-19. If that's the reason, he suggests, maybe that's a muck or a source for the idea of throwing the bread to the fish. Why? Because just like we have pity on these fish that are caught in traps, so to Hashem, we're caught in a trap, have pity on us. Have pity on us. So maybe there is a connection between that. Okay, there are several other suggestions he has here. But that is the origin of Tashlich. So we saw Tashlich not mentioned in the Gemara, not mentioned in Rishonim, not mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch. It is mentioned by the Ramah. The earliest source is the Maharil. And we saw several different suggestions of answers of why is it that we have the custom. Just to review all the sources we saw. We saw the Maharil himself said, Zecher l'Akedah, because Avram Avinu, the river, the Satan took on the guise of the river, and we offered the interpretation of Nechama Leibovitz, Zecher l'Avracha, that it was really Avram's own mind, his alter ego, his voice of doubt, and that we too, we stand at that river and we overcome our alter ego, our voice of doubt, in order to stand against it, and in order to be able to persevere. The Ramah in Zdar Chemosha quoted two further reasons from the Minhagim. Number one, that fish are not subject to Ayin Hara, we hope that we won't be. Number two, that fish spread, and we hope that fish, Nifra V'Nirba Kedagim, that we will grow. It was only an Ashkenazi custom until the Ari adopted it. Once the Ari adopted it, then Sfardim began to observe Tashlich as well. What are the many reasons? We saw Rashi, we saw Tashlich and Tzulas Yam, we saw the Balatanya, that water is like Chesed, we saw that we coronate a king at the water, we saw the reason that the water is humble, flows to the lowest point. We are humble. We are demonstrating, we are reliving during like the time of Nehemiah. Then we saw all the reasons associated with the fish in the river, that the Ayin Hara shouldn't rule on us, or that the fish have no eyelids, they don't sleep. Shem is watching us all the time. The fish get caught in the trap. We could get caught in a trap out of nowhere. All these many reasons. You should say it outside the city, at a body of water that has fish. Say it after you daven mincha, but before Shkia, or you have until Hoshana Rabbah to be able to do so. And while there's no basis for the custom of throwing bread into the water, there is a basis for the custom of shaking out our clothing, shaking out and cleansing and purifying ourselves from all of the chatayim. I want to wish everyone all the chavrei hakolel, a chakasher, a ksiv v'chsim atova, and a good gebench yor. It should be a sweet, a happy, a good year of good health, of simcha. We should successfully unburden, unload, shake out all the chataim, wipe our slate clean, start again with learning. We look forward to the continuation of the Zman in the new year, namely next Monday. Have a great day, everybody.